Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
You're listening to Griefcast with me, Cariad Lloyd. Griefcast is a place to talk, share and laugh about the peculiar human process of death and grief. Each week, I talk to a different person about their experiences of grief and death as we remember someone that they have lost along the way, whether it was a long time ago or you've just joined the club. Welcome to Griefcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Griefsters. Hope you're having an okay week. I've surrounded myself with candles and I keep talking about them. It's the only thing making it seem less bleak and less foggy. Also, there's major building work going on and outside my flat, and I've been waiting for it to stop and it hasn't. So I thought, you know what? Let's just enjoy the dulcet tones of, I think it's a saw against concrete. I hope you're all doing okay. Thank you so much as ever for your amazing comments about this series. I was a bit dubious about doing a series, whether it was, you know, needed in all this chaos, but you've been sending me some really wonderful messages that make me feel like it was a good thing to do, so thank you so much for listening. This week I'm talking to comedy performer and impressionist Jess Robinson. Jess is an incredible performer. You might actually not recognise it if you saw her face, because she does so many incredible impressions. She's currently one of the main voices on the relaunch Spitting Image. She's been on Dead Ringers. She's been on Britain's Got Talent. She has her own incredible podcast as well, which is called Stars in Your Ears, which came out this year as well, where she does impressions with comedian guests and her amazing band. Yeah, she's a phenomenal performer and the most incredible positive energy, as you will hear in this interview. Jess came to talk to me about her dad, who passed away during the first lockdown. So I was very touched that Jess came to talk to me when it had happened so recently, and to get her perspective on losing someone during a pandemic. How are you coping without your Edinburgh this year?
Oh,
have you been okay?
I'm so pleased.
Yes.
Oh gosh.
There's a small gang of us that are like, yes. Obviously, very sad for the venues and the start, all of that.
Yes.
But personally, it's nice.
Oh, it's lovely. I mean, it's lovely not to have another reason to lose money.
Yep.
And and I feel like I have to go every year.
Yeah.
And if I'm frightened not, this would have been my seventh year, I'm frightened not to go in case I'm, you know, I just get FOMO.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's
yeah.
an enforced rest. In a way, I'm not missing the stress of putting on a live
yeah.
show, even though yeah. I love it once I do it.
Yeah.
It's such a roller coaster.
Have you done any gigs since lockdown? Have you done anything?
I've been doing Spitting Image from home,
cool.
and I've been doing lots of like recorded animations yeah. and things like that, and my podcast, but I've not done any live gigs.
It's
at
so
all.
Weird, isn't it?
I don't know if I miss it.
I know. I think that's the danger. We're all going to be like, because I think when you're gigging, you just get into the mode, don't you?
Yes.
And you don't notice how it's actually really hard sometimes.
Yes, it's very anxious when you
have,
making.
Yeah, when you have a break, you're like, this is nice, isn't it? It's nice to have an yeah. evening, not be like, oh God, okay, I've got a gig tonight. You're just like,
yeah.
Although I did a gig on an improv gig on Saturday. It was my first since
How
since before
it?
I had my baby. Yeah, it was weird. It was really nice, but I found the adrenaline was weird. Having not had that adrenaline for so long, I was so like, and not nervous, just the adrenaline, like going through your body. And then afterwards, like the next day, I still felt like, oh, like that adrenaline hangover, you know, it's like all leaving your body and you're like, oh, I feel so weird. So it was like, it was really fun and I felt so privileged and lucky to do it. But at the same time, it was really interesting to go, God, the effect it has on your body is marked.
Yeah. It is a real source of anxiety. And my favourite thing about performing live is being with my band.
Oh, yeah.
And because we're doing the podcast at the moment anyway and working together so closely, I'm not missing that element.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's nice to have, like, that's how I feel with Ostentatious. You've got, like, a gang.
Yes.
And then you feel like
there's
someone.
Oh, it's someone... so nice, isn't it?
Oh, it's so nice, especially so as nice. We've done solo shows.
It's so lonely otherwise.
So lonely.
So lonely.
So, Jess, obviously that's one, a nice thing that you're having an Edinburgh break, but who are we remembering today on the show?
Oh, we're remembering my lovely dad.
Your dad. And what was his name?
His name was Brian Lewis Robinson. Oh, he was born in 1936.
Oh, he sounds like a gent already.
Oh my gosh, such a lovely, brilliant, wonderful, gorgeous man.
Jess, so when did he die? How long ago was it?
He died on the 28th of March. So just as lockdown was happening.
Wow.
No one was allowed to travel anywhere. He was diagnosed with lung cancer.
Oh gosh.
Last November. Just November just gone.
Wow.
So that was what, 2019. God, thank God we didn't know during my wedding, or because that was in October. So the next month he was diagnosed with cancer, and then it was very, it was just very quick.
Gosh.
I never thought that Christmas would be the last one. I kept hope, you know, we really were just so hoping that he would get over it, get better, you know.
Or like you said, give you a bit more time.
Yeah.
So, Jess, I mean, what we say on the show is, like, you are very new to the club. Like, this is this is very fresh. Like, woof. Because, you know, I'm 20 plus years, like, in this zone. So, like, I really feel for you. So, he was diagnosed in November.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I guess, so he was having treatment before lockdown? Is that kind of, like, were you guys...
Yeah, he was having... He decided to try chemo and he kept getting infections and he kept being in and out of hospital and it was really miserable for him. And we managed to get him out of hospital for Christmas, but his lung, he kept filling with fluid and he kept getting these infections and he just felt rotten, poor thing. And he was putting a brave face on, I think, and Mum was being very real. A bit too real, going on, I don't know how I'm going to live without him and he's going to die. And Dad was saying, I just feel sorry for Jackie, my mum, because I'm leaving her behind.
Oh.
And I was like, guys, we mustn't talk like this. It's not going to happen. You'll be here next Christmas. You're going to live forever.
Mm.
And he didn't.
No. Oh, Jess, I'm so sorry.
Mm.
I'm so sorry. So he was in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? So I had a baby just before the lockdown at the start of March. And so I know what the maternity wards were kind of like at that point. So
crazy,
as you're approaching this, was he in hospital as lockdown starts to be talked about already?
No, by that time he was home. In his bed, he was staying in his bed more and more, a bit more tired. I mean, like, even the day, a couple of days before he died, he managed to get downstairs. He didn't, I don't know, maybe he knew, I don't know, but he typed all his passwords out for Mum.
Oh.
But, I mean, they were so bloody cryptic. There were still, like, loads of...
Good passwords,
Brian. There were loads of asterisks where words should have been and no one could work it out at all. It was like he'd left the Da Vinci Code behind or something ridiculous. And then even... I got a call from a friend of the family who... She runs a hospice and knows a lot about palliative care.
Mm.
And she was really sort of... just taking an interest in and helping Mum and Dad. And, you know, she called me and said, Jess, I think your dad's fading and I think you should go and see him.
Mm.
And I was really like, I tweeted to see if anyone could, you know, any place in Brighton I could have a test to go. And then a doctor got in touch with me on Twitter and said, even if you can't get the test, you know, will you still go? I think you will. So just do it. Type things. It's bigger than...
So you're based in Brighton?
So I'm based in Brighton right, now. Mum and Dad are in Hertfordshire.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I drove to our lovely little village and I had 3 days lying on the bed next to Dad. He said to... I remember him saying to Mum, maybe I'll mow the lawn tomorrow. He was so sleepy and tired and I just held his hand... And I sung to him and I kept telling him how much I loved him. Probably I was a bit much and he just wanted to be a bit of peace and quiet.
No, and, I'm sure not.
It was precious to have... here we go, everybody. No. Whoop. It was precious to have the 3 days with him. And my sister had symptoms of coronavirus, so she couldn't come. She had to be out in the garden. She's my half sister, so Dad wasn't really her dad, but was more of a dad to her than her own was. But it felt very, very precious just to be the three of us, how it was when I was growing up, and just have that time with him. Yeah.
What did you sing to him? Did you take requests or did you just sing what you thought he...
He wanted to hear One Voice, which is a song I sing where... I sing in harmony with myself. I had to get the backing track up on my phone to do a proper...
Good work.
So
good
I'm
work.
Billie Holiday, and then I come in as Amy Winehouse, and she sings with a recorded Billie Holiday, so it's all layered up. And then I come in as Kate Bush. That was a bit much for the bedroom, the deathbed. Then I come in as Beyonce. Wow. Oh, Daddy. And then I go, this is the sound of my voice. And he was sort of just mouthing it along in his sort of oromorph stupor. And he kissed me and he was such a lovely, lovely man. He was such a lovely man. And it was funny, my friend Luke had lost his mum just 3 weeks before and had been through the whole same thing. And that was cancer. And it was very... He was very there for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was bonkers. It was bonkers.
So did he pass away at home?
Uh-huh.
And you were there at the bed?
Yeah. He was in his own bed. That's what he really wanted. But because of coronavirus, our family friend couldn't really be there with us, or maybe she could have, but we didn't want to ask because we thought at the hospice it would have been crazy. So we were using I think St. Francis, or you know, some hospice nurses were coming in and out, but they didn't sadly give Dad enough medication. And we didn't realise that his lungs were so full of fluid. And maybe that, you know, the last few moments, oh my gosh, it was such a struggle. He was so agitated. And I think that oromorph, like that really strong morphine, may do that anyway. I don't know whether he was aware of it. I really hope he wasn't. That is my biggest fear, the bit that I can't quite... get past, because he looked like he was sort of flailing a bit and, you know, gasping, and his mouth was filling up with fluid, and it was maybe he didn't know, but it was really horrific for me and Mum. And, you know, we feel a bit angry and let down that the nurses didn't give him the amount was stated that they should give him. They didn't put him on, what's it called?
Oh, the morphine, like driver.
Driver,
yeah. Which normally at the end, I mean, I guess it was...
And maybe, I'm sure that the fluid would have come up anyway, but it was really horrific to seeing someone struggle to go. And I wish that hadn't been like that for him, because he didn't. He was a good man. He didn't deserve that. And I just, sorry, this is terrible.
No, don't. Honestly, it's not surprising. Podcast gold. You're so new to this. It's only tears right now. Do you know what I mean? Like that. How it's just pain right now. It's just really, really raw. So of course, and
I've been fine. I've been like getting on with stuff and ignoring
Jess,
it.
And it's you know, that's grief. Yeah, like you have these moments of washing up and watching Selling Sunset and doing your hair, and then you're like, oh, this actually, I sort of feel, and then suddenly it's like boom, crash. Like you're and you think, what an idiot. I thought I was holding it together. Again. Yeah, that's just it. It's just oscillating between the two. And I said to someone else, actually, because I'm writing a book about grief. It's fun times. And I've been reading so much grief theory. And a lot of, you know, the most common grief theory is that you absolutely have to keep oscillating between feeling very normal and then crash. Because it was like, if you don't go back to reality for a little bit, your brain can't process it. So that's when, you know, you're just doing your thing and feeling all right, and your brain is, you know, sort of in the background doing it all, and then you come back to it. And that switch is actually really important. I think when you're in that early stage, you feel like, oh God, am I over it? What's happening? Am I normal? And actually it's just human, very, very human.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm prodding you and asking questions, like, of course.
Well, it's probably good for me, because I think I've just been, you know, blindly blinkered getting on with it.
Yeah.
It's funny, actually. It's just reminded me, I did a show about the stages of grief when I got divorced. And I've got a picture of my dad dressed up as Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
I must send it to you so you can see it's really funny.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Yeah, I think, you know, we talk a lot on the show that five stages is a very like outdated form of
feels
looking
like
at grief.
It
really is. And to not pressure yourself to go through any kind of linear narrative, like, no, you're going to just keep going from sadness to normality to normality to sadness to sadness to sadness to sadness. Oh, a day that's fine. Like,
yeah,
that is much, much more what most people experience. Really, really definitely what most people experience.
And, yes. If only it was as simple as the stage, and you can go, right, I'm in anger now. That's great.
It would be amazing. I mean,
I've done my denial. I'm going into acceptance.
I love Kubler because I think, babes, great theory. Like, love it if it worked. But, you know, and she, as I'm sure you know from doing the show, she wrote it for people who were dying, not for the grieving. So it really is like, you can see, if you're suffering from a terminal illness, yes, you might go through anger, denial, bargaining, and you might reach acceptance. You might think, well, I'm going to die. But grieving people are living. We're still here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really difficult. But I'm so sorry you had to go through that. And that, I mean, it's... what you've gone through is a really difficult process, and to lose someone during a pandemic, like, and this is, you know, no one of our generation has been through this before.
Bonkers.
Like, it's bonkers. It's a really good word.
But in a lot of ways, having to be in lockdown, I mean, I ended up, because I had been with my mum, and because of everything we were going through, I went between my house and my mum's house.
Yeah,
I know I shouldn't have done that, but I just had to, because she was on her own.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I went between my flat and mum's house, and apart from that, nothing was happening. The world had stopped, and it felt very right that everything had stopped. It was like that poem, Stop All the Clocks. And I liked having no pressure of having to do work. I did do a Radio 4 thing because I have to. but no pressure of having to put a brave face on or anything like that. And to be able to do a Radio 4 thing, they were like, are you sure you want to do it? And I said, yes, I saw my dad this morning, he was fine. I just had seen him in the funeral thing, and then just went and did the Radio 4 thing. But I was in the comfort of my own little studio in my pajamas, and it felt like just something little to focus on, and then I could go back to bed.
It's so weird, because when lockdown happened, So the Griefcast Twitter, there's like a big community of griefsters, yeah, as we call ourselves. And I messaged and I was like, how's everyone doing? And there was a lot of people being like, yeah, not, this feels like grief. And what I think what you've said, yeah, is so interesting, because when you lose someone not in a pandemic,
yeah,
you want the world to stop. And you, yeah, can't believe that people are going about their fucking jobs and they're, yeah, like in shops and they're, you know, at pubs. And your brain is like, how are you all carrying on when
how my
person
you?
Has died? It, yeah, just feels,
yeah,
so weird.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting that you had literally what you kind of want. Like you said, you want the world to stop. You want everyone to go very quiet. And you were, and you had that. That's really interesting.
Yes. Everyone was saying, oh, you poor thing. And in lockdown, it must be so hard. Mm. My mum was like, I don't want people giving me hugs. Mm. What's a hug going to do? It's not practical. You know, neighbours were leaving carrier bags with bottles of wine on her fence in this little village. Fabulous.
Yeah.
You know, and she was saying, oh, God, my letterbox is full of cards. They've all got corona on them. You know, she was very, like, there was a lot of humour.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure.
My sister was so worried about her work. She's a corporate team building sort of a person. And mum genuinely said, why don't you be a grave digger? They earn at least £500 a grave. Be a grave digger.
Like, there's good so job much, now. Good job.
So
you know.
Much.
They were like, well, I don't need universal credit, guys. I'm going to be digging away.
We're totally fine.
Apologies if you are a grave digger and you are on universal credit. I'm sure it's hard times for everybody. But yeah, I think that's because, you know, I had a baby just before lockdown and similarly, like, people were like, oh God, how awful. And,
yeah,
you know, yes, well, yeah, there's part of it that's, like you said, is like hard and lonely. But there's another part where you really face what's happening to you,
yes,
in a way that there's no distractions. So I think that must be with your grief. Do you feel like, even though you're saying, oh, you've been getting on with it, do you feel like you really, those first few weeks, you kind of had to just deal with grief rather than normal life would be like, oh, I've my friend's party I should go to. I've got a gig. I've got this, you know.
It was, yeah. It was brilliant not to be pulled in 1,000 different directions. Yeah. It was great to have to be home in this haven. And my husband, who usually is travelling all over the world, was here.
Wow,
he'd,
yeah,
lost his dad at Christmas as well. So we both lost our dads.
Oh, God.
And before or after he lost his dad? Before, I think, his second mum really committed suicide. So we've had a lot of gross stuff happen since we were married, really.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot for him to take on, because I felt a bit bad because I'm very expressive and I was crying and he was holding me and, you know, literally sort of propping me up.
Mm.
And I also felt a little bit guilty that he's still dealing with his dad and his family friend and all of that sort of stuff. It's a lot.
It is a lot. It's a lot. I mean, there's no... Yeah, it's a lot. And I think supporting someone, like having been on both sides of it, because my husband lost his dad and then his mum... It is hard. It's really hard. But I always felt not happy, because there isn't the right word, but like not even pleased. I just felt okay that I understood his experience when it was his,
yeah,
dad.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, at least, you know, when somebody's like, oh my God, my world, you're like, yeah, I know. Like, you know, and that's not to say if you haven't been through it, you can't support someone, but it just gave me an understanding of like, yeah, I do know what that feeling feels like. And
yeah.
And I think, and sometimes it can help. It can help that one of you is more expressive. Like I feel you, because I'm definitely more expressive than my husband, who's, yeah, a writer, yeah, and much more internal. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be good for them to see, you know, you wailing and weeping and them to be like, oh yeah, there is that emotion. And it's also sometimes good for you to be like, oh, I see someone carrying it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that they're processing it differently.
With some dignity.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's all,
class
I'm a
dignity.
Real snot on my face girl, you know.
Yeah,
I'm a real, like,
terrible.
Get it all out. So did you have the funeral very quickly? What happened with...
Yeah, we did. Well, we had to actually move Dad from one funeral place to another because one of them wouldn't let us go and see him.
Wow.
And wouldn't let us bring clothes in for him.
Oh, my God.
And the other one, who was run by a lovely man called Calming. I just
Amazing.
Love that. What a wonderful name for a funeral director.
Yeah.
Calming let us take Dad's suit in that he got for the wedding. Mum was like, are you sure we don't want to sell it? And I was like, no, it was made for him. He's got Mum. So we went in to see him. Mum would not let him be buried in his wedding shoes because they pinched him. So he was he had his echoes if he was going to walk with God, Mum said.
That is adorable.
He was in his comfy shoes to walk in heaven.
I think she's right. You're getting to heaven. You don't want to be in like uncomfy smart shoes. You're going to be relaxed. Yeah.
Hilarious. And I put a packet of ginger biscuits in with him as well because they were his favourites.
Oh, Jess.
And then we looked at him and sort of stood there. And my sister, who was symptom free by this point, was fine. She came
goodness.
To see her dad as well. And God, you know, when he died, from having a really red face, it was just white as a sheet. It must have been so much effort to breathe.
Mm.
Anyway, it didn't really look like him anymore, but it was good to see him. We cried and I put my snotty tissues in his hand, so he's got them as well. Bit of my DNA down there. It's not right, is it? But there we are. Disrespectful.
No, I think whatever you need to do, you know. He's your dad. He wouldn't mind a snotty tissue. Like, let me tell you, as a mother of two, like, you deal with that all the time.
He
like,
has snotty tissues in his hand.
At least you were symptom-free. That's the main thing.
Absolutely. So bad.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to Griefcast with Carrie Adloyd.
Yeah, and how many people did you have? Were you allowed people at the funeral? What was the...
No, we weren't. We were allowed six people and it had to be outside. So my mum is... We're Jewish, but mum plays the organ in the local C of E church in the village because...
Wow.
She likes to know what's going on everywhere.
Covering all the bases.
Covering all the bases. So there was a notice about Dad's death put on the death till in the village shop, where all people that die get just as, it's a till that's not working. It's not the normal till. It's the death till.
God.
And that's where the sign goes.
Oh, amazing.
So my brother drove down from Glasgow just to come and then he drove back. There were maybe six or seven of us and we walked through the village behind the hearse to the little Albury Church graveyard. And it was a really beautiful spot that my dad was an artist. He did landscapes and watercolours and it looked like somewhere he would have chosen to paint. It was really gorgeous. It was the most glorious sunny day and there was a red kite circling.
Wow.
And as we walked behind the hearse, I think Mum's friends had just sort of rallied round, but everyone from Malting Lane all the way down to the village pond, all the way round to this little beautiful church, everyone just came out of their houses and just stood really silently either side. Some people clapped as we went past. Ooh. And it felt like Dad was a king. It felt like the most respectful, unbelievably touching, amazing, ceremonial, respectful thing. It was just really beautiful, such honour for Dad. It was really special, and had we not been in lockdown, that would not have happened.
No, that's amazing.
It was like, beautiful. It was beautiful.
It sounds sort of, like you said, there's this historic timelessness to it, of like people being at home, people being not so busy that you're like, oh, I can't stop. I've seen a hearse, but I'm running to the tube. I'm doing this. To just come out and pay their respects. It was gorgeous.
It was gorgeous. And even Carming had a tear in his eye walking ahead of the hearse. Bless Carming. What a nice man.
Oh my goodness.
And the funeral, the vicar ran the funeral and we had some nice music. And as the coffin was lowered, Dad wanted the Radio 4 shipping forecast music.
I love that music.
But it just, my niece, who was being DJ, pressed it a little bit too soon. So it happened just as the vicar was saying, you know, the earth to earth, dust to dust bit, which made it all slightly comedy. And we were like... just made everything slightly silly.
Like
which
the vicar was
really
reading
like,
the shipping forecast at you.
So funny.
Oh my goodness.
So we got the giggles a little bit on that bit and that was good. That's what Dad would have liked.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then what did you do afterwards, I guess? Because again, you can't have a wake, you can't have all their friends together. You just
very
sort of quiet.
We went to there were people standing in the field beyond the graveyard as well, sort of just watching. It was amazing.
Oh, God.
We went back to Mum's garden and we had some champagne, sort of socially distant champagne to toast Dad. And that was it. But it felt so right for him. He was a very quiet, sort of shy man and with a very silly sense of humour. And it felt really right that should be, you know, out in nature, that should be his send-off, not something with loads of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, he wouldn't have liked, well, he hated social events, really.
So this worked out in his favour.
Really did.
Like, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's just, we've been through such a, like, everyone's been through such a bizarre time.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I think, like, as I said, on the Twitter and all the griefsters were talking to each other and all of us were just like, oh, like, I know how hard it is in normal life.
Mm.
But to do this when you can't do your normal things, you know, your normal survival techniques. But I think that's amazing that his day, that you managed to do it and honour him. And I don't know, it's just like the spirit wall out, isn't it? It's like, even though those people couldn't come, they all came and stood and they clapped. And it's like, human beings will find a way to connect, even when we can't, to be like, no, I'm here, I'm waving at you. Like,
It made it more special. It made it more him. And, you know, I can't say thank God for lockdown because it's a terrible thing and an awful pandemic. But it really gave, I do feel like it gave us space to...
Yeah.
You know, in some ways.
Yeah. And so I said, you know, you're very, very, very new to this world.
Mm.
How has it been since then? Like you say, I've been getting on with it. Like, do you feel like it's hit you or do you feel like you're still in that kind of, some days it's like, what?
I feel like it hit me pretty immediately. I was, you know, really crying and wailing. It was terrible. And Mum, who is so stoic and has only now just started crying about it, at the time said, I can't have all this grief. I can't have all this crying and wailing. You know, so I ended up going home because I couldn't grieve in the way that I needed to. And that's fine. That was I think she wanted a bit of space, and that's all right.
That's good that you can, that you guys obviously have a good enough relationship to go, okay, I know what you need, I know what I need, and not be offended and be like, my mum's not supporting me, because people do grieve so differently,
very, very,
you know,
very.
It's a completely different dynamic. You know, she's lost her husband, you've lost a dad. That's, those are very different relationships.
I've lost my dad and I loved him so much, but she's lost her best friend. She's lost her person. Who else has she got now? I mean, me, I am brilliant, but so I felt like I shouldn't be, you know, all grieving and big and cryy around her when, and she shouldn't need to support me or have to put up with that.
It's really, I mean, that's good of you. That's good that you had the self-awareness to see that, because I think
call
it's hard.
Call me Jessus. Yeah.
And also with you. It's hard though. It's hard when you're in that wailing bit. It's hard not to be like, everybody needs to support me. This is so sad. Like, I think, but it sounds like you two obviously have such a good relationship that you could go, okay.
We do have a brilliant relationship in a lot of ways. And then some other stuff.
Well, yeah, classic.
Like all mums and daughters.
Yeah, yeah.
Being there and watching him go like that, I think Mum very much feels like it brought us closer together and was a real bonding thing to have to go through. I'm so glad she wasn't on her own.
Yeah,
I'm so glad. And I don't know, going back to that, you know, do we be angry that we were sort of a bit let down, or do we just, you just got to let it go now, don't you? Just got to move forward and go, fingers crossed he was not, you know, it might have looked terrible. Maybe he wasn't conscious. We'll never know. What can you do?
I would definitely recommend, when you're ready, there's an episode with Catherine Mannix that I did, who is a doctor, who is a palliative care consultant.
Yeah.
And she talks about what happens when people die and how aware they actually are of it.
Oh, okay.
And it's a really good episode. And I had a lot of people listen to it and go, oh, thank you, because I thought this meant this. And she said, you know, often what can seem like, oh, they're fighting it isn't. It's like the body doing its thing.
Okay.
But we don't know that because we don't see death. So to us, we're like, you know, oh my God, they're in pain. And she, so it was definitely worth listening to that. And
I definitely will.
And also, when you're ready, you know, you could speak to a doctor who has experience of someone dying of lung cancer. And it, I think I know a lot of people who've done that, to just go, can you just talk me through what would have been happening to his body at that point? And so then you can understand, like, no, they weren't aware. That is just what's happening. They were dying. Because I think, you know, we don't see death, do you? I'm assuming it's the first person you see die. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, it is. No, it is. I think I got there just in time to see my grandma take her last breath. But then she was 103.
Wow.
And she was just basically, this was September 2018.
Wow.
That was, but and I thought, you know, I was sort of grieving her, but that feels like, it sounds terrible, but nothing in comparison to the way I felt about my daddy.
Yeah.
I was so close with him.
It's very different. It's a very different, and I think also, it's that thing about the nature of death, isn't it? It's like, well, grandparents do die. They are old, and you can be very sad and miss them.
Yeah.
And it can be very painful. But yeah, your parent is half of you, you know, that's a very different experience. And yeah, it's just, I mean, there's no right or wrong. There's just grief. There's just what you're trying to process. Had he been like super supportive of you, like throughout your performing journey?
He was brilliant. And he had a very funny, silly sense of humour. So there are some silly things on my Instagram where he would make silly videos, or we'd do some baking together and he'd be presenting how to make croissants or whatever. He was such a funny, silly, sweet man. Sort of a bit, how would you describe his humour? Sort of a bit sort of Vic and Bob, or a bit sort of just bonkers, really strange in his own little world. But he was so supportive, he would make all my props for all of my Edinburgh shows. He would come up to all of my Edinburgh shows. He'd come and see everything. He'd make posters and flyers when I was trying stuff out in the Village Hall, which I did every year.
Oh.
Yeah, so supportive and proud. He really was. And I'm so glad, actually. I did one of the last things he saw me do was The Guilty Feminist, which he and Mum, I said, it went on quite a bit. And I said, you know, go now if you want to. I text them. Mum was like, we're already in a taxi. But they came to see The Guilty Feminist at the Royal Albert Hall.
Oh, wow.
And I sung Dad's favourite song, One Voice, there. It was amazing that he could have seen me do that.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
That was really wonderful. Amazing. So there was lots of sort of proud moments that he had.
Yeah, and was
and
also...
I was so proud to show him off because he was such a sweet man. It was so, yeah.
And obviously he was at your wedding as well, so you like... But it must be, I just think what you've been through this past year, do you ever have a sense of like, I'm sorry, what the hell just happened? Because you've gone from, like you said, happy celebration of wedding to these griefs, these deaths, and then a pandemic and...
No, I don't.
That's good.
I don't. I mean, maybe if it happened to someone else, or maybe like on paper, but it doesn't feel
when
like
it's your life.
I've just sort of kept moving forward. I mean, 3 weeks after Dad went, I got in touch with my band and went, should we make this podcast then? And just started making this ridiculous podcast called Stars in Your Ears, which is all sort of musical comedy, really silly and frivolous. I guess it's the sort of thing my dad would have liked and would have wanted me to get on and do. He wouldn't have, you know, chin up, he used to say, or I'll have to get you a chin bra. Stupid. And so we just got on and made this thing which he would have just loved. And it was something to throw myself into.
Yeah, did you feel that consciously? Like, I need a something. Yeah. I need a little pot to just keep stirring while this is going on. Yeah.
And it was all consuming and brilliant to do. And, you know, I'm really proud of it. And then I had the break. There was a little break afterwards, after the first series. And I expected to... I had lots of moments during that point and still up to now where I keep catching myself going, oh, I'm feeling happy. Oh, I'm not sure if that's okay. I'm feeling happy. Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's so common. It's so common. And I think, again, it's like trying to take off this pressure of what grief should be. Like, as if, oh, I should be wearing black, wailing and miserable.
Yeah.
And it's like, that just isn't life. That isn't how days work. Like, and, you know, I had an acting teacher once that said, like, no emotion lasts longer than 3 seconds, like, as an actor. Like, so don't just, like... constantly wail in a scene.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's good, isn't it? But it made me think about grief, because I was like, this idea that you can stay in this place of misery constantly is not true. You can't. And I have had howling, wailing sessions and then been like, God, I really need to paint my toenails. What colour? And then you're like, what? Where's that come from? And it's like your brain wanders about the place. And
yeah,
I think if you can find happiness, it's precious. And like, again, my husband, who's lost both his parents, always says, like, the shit is going to come. Like, the sad bit will be there. So don't worry. If you're happy, don't be like, oh, am I happy? Because, like, it won't last, just like the sadness doesn't last. All of these things are temporary.
Yes.
Just enjoy the happiness while it's there, because a sad day will be coming your way. No, like,
don't worry about it.
Yeah, like, it just, I know, it sounds really morbid. Sorry. You will be sad again, Jess. But like, you will, and then you'll be happy again. I think if you can just... I think the best thing with grief is just to let it be. Just be like, okay, this is how I feel today. okay, like rather than be like, is this okay? Do I feel like this? What, yeah. Am I? Is this bad? Does this mean I'm not honoring him? All of these things. And
yes, am I heartless? I sometimes think I must be so hard to be happy looking at the sea on the beach, or I must be such an asshole to be, you know, going to the shops.
No, just a human trying to get through the day.
Mm.
And I'd say, you know, again, as someone who's 20 years in, and obviously like, every grief is so different, but like it just ebbs and flows. And if you can if you can just have some normal days, amazing, because that is how your body copes. That's how you cope with what's happened to you. And then as it goes on, because it doesn't magically go away. Mm. Like it's important almost to like store the good days, like store them up to give you strength to get through the bad ones. So it's like, don't feel bad for them. You're not heartless. You're just existing in an insane situation as well. And I remember reading something at the start of lockdown, someone else talking about death and being like, this is trauma on top of trauma. Like your dad dying is tragic. Your dad dying during a pandemic when everything is so strange is another layer to unpick and to deal with. So yeah, you're not heartless. You're not at all. That's just what I think.
No,
so.
I guess it should be sort of how lucky that I can still laugh about stuff
I think sometimes when we do the how lucky to ourselves, it's like another way of being mean. Do you know what guilty. I mean? Of like, you should be so happy. What's wrong with you? Like, it's like when you know I'm saying this to you as a performer, you know, if someone gets a job and you're like, and then you're like, how dare you be jealous of them? You've got everything you need. And you're like, just let yourself have the feeling, you know, just like,
that's true.
It's okay. Some days it's easier. Some days it's not. And like, that is just going to be the case for like, a while, you know. Have you been able to visit the grave and everything?
Yeah, I've gone there quite a bit. I like to lie down next to him.
Why not, Jess? Whatever works.
I just like to lie on. I said, lie down, Mum. She went, no, you can do that if you want to. I just stand here. Mum wasn't keen. I don't know whether it's just because that's what it was like when he was dying. I was just on the bed next to him. So I just like to lie down on the cool grass in this beautiful patch next to him. And sometimes I put my mouth to the ground and go, hello, Daddy. Hello, Daddy, it's Jesse. Which is ridiculous. But, you know.
Are there people in the graveyard at this point? Is there someone next to you weeping being like, you're waking my one up?
Yeah, could you stop?
Just keep it down. Keep it down a little bit. Why not? Mum, I mean, God, whatever works.
That's like, so silly, isn't it? Mum said, I went to visit the grave today. Nelly did a little wee on it. It's very sweet. Like, it's just bonkers. Such a silly family, really. Just having a nice time.
That's nice, Jess. That's so nice. I mean, it sounds like you have made the best of what is a really difficult time and a really difficult situation. And I get a real sense of like the love that you have as a family with each other. And obviously, like you said, there's always things in a family that make things interesting. Yeah, yeah. But I very much get the sense of how much he loved you and you loved him. Yeah. And like that for surviving grief is like one of the biggest things. If you know that they loved you, it's very helpful.
Oh God. And I really, I know that he loved me. And although sometimes he couldn't say it, you'd go, all right, I'm going to go now. Love you, Daddy. And he'd go, yup. So not very good at expressing himself sometimes, but he did tell me he loved me other times. And when he was dying, oh, Daddy, he was so lovely. He was so lovely. I feel so grateful that I had such a good, lovely relationship and he was such a nice daddy to me. Mm. I'm so lucky, because it would have been even worse. I know people lose, you know, close family members, and there's a whole sort of confusing thing on top of it because I didn't have a nice relationship or, you know.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
I feel blessed in that way. I feel really grateful in that way.
Yeah, and I think it's like, we always talk about this on the show, like all you can do for your children really is like love them so hard so that when you go, they know they were loved. And like you said, people don't have that, and it's really hard. And that does add another layer to grief of trying to work through when you have a difficult relationship with someone who's now not here, so you can't even have those conversations with him. So the fact that you can shout "Hello, Daddy" down to his grave, I think is like just really nice. It's just like, wow, you guys had a really good relationship. You know, there's no like awkwardness about that, or there's things I can't say to you. It's just like, no, I'm getting down on the grass and I'm saying hello. Like, that is wow. That is, he was a good dad. He was a really good dad.
Yeah.
Well, Jess, thank you so much for coming to talk to me about him.
Oh, thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Sorry for the blubbing. Oh. But again, you know, that lasted 3 seconds and here I am, all happy again.
Go. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can follow Jess on Twitter at Jessie Robinson. She's also on Instagram as well. And her podcast, Stars in Your Ears, is available from all good pod apps. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Griefcast. The show was edited by Kate Holland. The music was provided by The Glue Ensemble. Artwork is by Jade Perkin. And remember, you are not alone.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.